That'll bring us into item number four, which is hatchery reform policy. This is a briefing, so I will turn it over to Kelly. And Eric.
Or the, whatever the clicker if you prefer. Okay. You could use this. Or this.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Smith, members of the Commission. My name is Kelly Cunningham. I'm the Deputy Assistant Director for the Fish Program. With me today is Mr. Eric Kinney. Eric is our Hatchery Systems Manager, and we'll be providing you an update on our efforts to comply with the provisions of Commission Policy 3619 with regard to the hatchery reform piece. So we'll hit four areas here. We'll go over key provisions, which I'll provide for you, and those are provisions of the policy. Eric will talk about our current status in meeting the HSRG goals as well as the policy goals. Eric will also discuss next steps, and then I'll jump into a bit of a summary. So with regard to the key policy provisions, the overarching policy direction that we have in 3619 Hatchery and Fishery Reform is to advance the conservation and recovery of wild salmon and steelhead by promoting and guiding the implementation of hatchery reform. Underneath that, we have three key provisions. One, we need to work toward a goal of achieving HSRG standards for all of our hatchery programs. We need to secure the necessary funding to ensure that our hatchery infrastructure is in compliance with federal regulations. And we also need to establish a network of wild salmonid management zones. I'll turn it over to Eric for our current status.
Good morning. So here is a bar graph that depicts on where we stand in 2016. Currently, we're sitting roughly around the same as we were last year at 88% of the programs that meet our standards for HSRG. What we have accomplished to date, we've made modifications to our hatchery programs. We've transitioned to integrated hatchery programs. We've installed weirs to control the proportion of hatchery origin spawners on the spawning grounds. We have secured capital funding to address facility limitations in order to benefit or to meet our benchmarks described in the 21st Century Salmon and Steelhead Framework. I know, you know, we received $37 million last year to try and address some of our infrastructure needs. I know Tim Burns, Assistant Director of CAMP, will be here this afternoon to talk about the 1719 proposed capital project list. We have also held policy compliance strategy meetings with regional fish program managers to try and address where our shortcomings are, whether or not it's monitoring or it's broodstock issues that we have. We've established wild salmonid management zones for steelhead in the lower Columbia River and are working to identify those in Puget Sound and the coast. We finalized and submitted 108 of the 115 HGMPs that we have statewide. Our current permit status, we have 19 HGMPs that have been approved by NOAA Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We have 41 HGMPs that have received letter of sufficiencies from NOAA Fisheries to start consultation. We also have another group that we're anticipating any day now for the Skagit, and that's an additional 8 HGMPs that are both tribal and WDFW programs. We have 7 HGMPs that have not been submitted to date. 4 of those will be submitted by the Corps of Engineers that are tied to some BPA funding. And 3 of them we're still working through with our co-managers to finalize and get submitted. And then we're continuing our consultation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on bull trout and other endangered species that they're responsible for. Next steps, future actions. We're developing biological-based and measurable triggers with regional staff to move the remaining conservation-based programs towards HSRG standards for compliance. We're continuing to prioritize our capital budget request to address facility limitations in order to meet benchmarks described in the 21st century salmon and steelhead framework. And we're working with our habitat program to develop criteria for evaluating our screens and intakes at our, some of our hatchery facilities, and that's ongoing right now. Other future actions, monitoring and evaluation, we're continuing to work with our science division to develop sound M&E protocols and work on evaluating relative reproductive success of hatchery fish. We're collecting samples to refine our gene flow integration data. We're continuing to work to establishing the wild salmon water management zones, and we're working to complete the rest of our HGMPs to get those submitted.
So how do we stack up? You've heard Eric give us kind of a high-level summary, but I just want to go over these provisions again. One, work toward a goal of achieving 100% compliance with broodstock management standards. As of to date, we've got 88% of our programs meeting those standards. I'd like to call out that the majority of those remaining programs that do not meet are conservation programs, where, as you've heard before, without some significant improvement in habitat, we'll be hard-pressed to meet those standards. And without those programs, we risk the fish blinking out in those systems. You heard Eric talk about securing the necessary funding in the 15-17 biennium. We were extremely successful in securing over $37 million both on the major and minor work side. During this last session, we also were successful in receiving about $500,000 a year for routine maintenance, which is a huge need for our hatchery infrastructure. So we feel really good about that. And then you heard Eric talk about establishing a network of wild salmonid management zones. We've started with Steelhead, and Vice Chair Carpenter, you hit the nail on the head with the Skagit. We continue having conversations with the tribes up there. They're difficult. Jim Scott's making progress, but we're not quite there yet, but we're working hard to that end. So with that, and at the risk of Chair Smith beating me about the head and shoulders, we've got a few more rocks we need to put in the box, but feel pretty good about where we are, recognizing we've got some more work to do. And with that, I'll ask if you have any questions. I'd be happy to answer.
Right,
yeah. I think that's
yeah. This is true.
I don't know how much detail it would require, but could you explain a little bit more about what's involved in developing the wild salmon and management zones?
At a very high level, what we're talking about with wild salmon management zones are areas where you don't have any hatchery production. Now, that doesn't mean you can't still fish in those areas, but we're either have eliminated or as a result of it, we would eliminate hatchery production in the system.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment, take note of the progress that has been made. I look back because I remember adopting the HSRG policy, and it was November 2009. It wasn't that long ago. And I remember having a conversation at that time about how expensive it was going to be. And we were in the midst of the Great Recession. So budget cuts were happening. And it just seemed like a very big reach to have hope to get to 100% compliance with HSRG standards. So I think it's kind of remarkable.
I'd like to ask you a question about the wild salmonid region that you just spoke about, and that no hatchery production, but we could still harvest fish. So you mentioned the Skagit. So let's just say hypothetically, they're all wild fish, but they're ESA listed. And are you telling me there's a take permit available to harvest those fish by somebody, or?
Well, as we've discussed before, we're actively pursuing a catch and release fishery on the Skagit, so that would be an instance where we would be able to do something like that on the Skagit. And we continue to work with the tribes on that conversation as well.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Yes.
Could you go to, I think, one of your first slides that showed your progress? I just would like to point out that this is remarkable. This is incredible that you've done as much as you've done in the forefront of hatchery reform policy on the West Coast of the United States. And I think this is, working with the HSRG, you've come a long, long way. I have one question. Our co-managers are not all together in agreement with us with regard to hatchery reform and the need for it. Have we worked with and have we succeeded in convincing some of our tribal co-managers? I know some of them are very interested in it, and if not, have instituted hatchery reform. But what is the status of the tribal hatcheries and the federal hatcheries within the state with regard to hatchery reform?
Well, maybe I can handle the first part of that question. With regard to the progress made, it's been a huge effort by everybody. The entire fish program, from fish management to our hatchery folks who have, you know, it was a pretty big culture shock, and we had to redefine what success was, right? In the past, success was maximizing the number of fish you could put out in a system and getting them out there everywhere. To have to make that change was a pretty significant cultural shock, if you will, for a lot of our hatchery staff and our fish management staff as well. So internally, it was a big lift with NOAA. It's been a heck of a lot of work for them. Still remain very short of resources and couldn't have done any of this without good linkages and cooperation and communication with our co-managers. And I think I've only been around a little less than 4 years, but in those 4 years, I've seen the conversations change a little bit. I think you're absolutely right. We don't have everybody waving the HSRG flag and you know, cheering and leading the parade, but there is a recognition that in light of ESA, we have to ensure that our programs are sound. So I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, Eric.
Yeah, we just continue to work with our co-managers to try and, I work with them on the Columbia River and in Puget Sound, and so on the Columbia River, they always, the phrase is, it's a tool, not a rule, and we're talking about HSRG standards, so I hear that a lot. So we're still trying to get there with the co-managers, so it's definitely a work in progress.
Commissioner Jay.
Thank you, Chair. Geographically, how are you? You're showing amazing progress in this. In our part of the world, fishing is a huge economic basis for us. So it's really neat when you can go out and see boats where you can damn near walk across the boats at the mouth of the Round and up the Clearwater and that. And then also, as a commissioner, it's neat when everybody's complained about how many wild fish they're catching and have to turn back, and that's a good thing. But how are our hatcheries in our part of the world? Do you know? Maybe Chris could answer that, or are we the status of those?
Yeah, I mean, most of those facilities over there are, you know, federally funded facilities, and we're working with our co-managers to maintain that production. We're going into the renegotiation right now of the U.S. v. Oregon agreement. And so there may be some changes that we put forward to some of the programs to try and improve or increase production. So, yeah, we're definitely working hard on that in that front. So.
Well, it seems like you guys are doing a really good job of managing both ends of it, where we're getting our hatchery fish back to be able to fish upon, but we're still seeing an inclining on our native fish, too. So, thank you.
When you're ready, I would encourage you to get this into the literature, because I think it's a good story.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Yep.
I understand why you've plateaued out up there for the last 2 years. And my question is, are these projects with regard to infrastructure that we're unable to complete because of lack of funding?
I'll take a shot at that. But so I have a list of, there's 19 programs left that do not meet HSRG standards, and there's a wide range. Some of them, Priest Rapids, Ringgold, some of the places where we're not, adipose clipping all of our fish or all the fish produced. So there's some roadblocks that are in our way. Infrastructure is one, compliance as far as intakes and pollution abatement systems and those kind of things. But those don't really cause us too much harm in the hatchery reform. But trying to get the data that's necessary to determine what our PHAS levels are for steelhead, those are some of the things that we need funding for is the monitoring side of things, really.
When everybody buys a license plate,
there you go.
You'll have the fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.